Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Balanced Gridiron. The following takes place between the hours of 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. real time. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente, and your faithful host, waiting to connect with our good friend, Mr. $2 Bill Josh. Hopefully he'll be calling in soon. I know he's headed down to the Indiana Fever game. So we got a lot on deck for you. That is, perhaps, if I can even speak English language tonight, would be a good time. We're going to have some time to call in. Our call-in number, you might want to jot this down, 917-889-8516. You can also you can also connect with us on Facebook. Just search the Balance. Now, it looks like we are joined in the news with $2 Bill Josh. Josh, are you with us? Wake up. Josh, are you with
us? I can't hear you at all, man.
All right, now, Josh, are you with us? Hello, Josh. Well, hopefully we'll connect back with Josh. I'm really not sure what that was all about, but so glad that you could join us right here on the Balanced Gridiron. We've got a lot planned out for you today. We've got a great story, actually. Two group of guys called the group is called Pathway Home, and they work with veterans to get them what they need, when they need it, and how they need it. So really excited to talk with those two guys. At the bottom of the hour, we've got Gary Snyder and Jimmy the intern calling in. We're going to be talking some Notre Dame football and some breaking down the IU game. 7:45, Mr. Colt, Super Colts Freak. Brian's going to be calling in, and let's see if we can connect with Josh. Josh, are you with us?
I'm broadcasting live from Kasika, so we're having a bit of technical difficulties to start with.
Well, Josh, you might want to walk outside or something so that you have a better signal, at least for the first 15 minutes. I know we're going to be catching up with you at bits and pieces of the show today because, like I said, Josh is downtown at the Indiana Fever game who start their playoff season tonight, Josh.
Yes, that's correct. They have a rematch of the 2010 first-round series against New York Liberty.
Okay, well, tell us a little bit about the Fever and how they got to this point.
Well, the Fever went 21-13 in the regular season, had the number one seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs, which means they will be at home throughout the Eastern Conference playoffs and in the WNBA for best 2 out of 3. So game one tonight in Indianapolis, game two Saturday night in New York, and if need be, game three will be Monday night at Kasika, and I believe if there's a game for me and Tom are going to cover that together.
Right, and we're gonna try our best to cover that together. I know we've got a lot of games to cover. Josh, real quickly, one of the things I want to talk with you about today, and we're going to have Rich Nye from WTHR Sports on the line with us at the top of the hour at 8 o'clock, and we're going to break down the Colts game, and it sounds like, Josh, you're really having some hard time with us. So just hopefully Josh can hear us, and he's walking outside there to an area to where we can hear him a little bit better. But we definitely want to talk with Josh about the Indianapolis Colts and the situation that they're in. Josh, can you hear us a little bit better now?
Yes, I can hear you much better.
All right, Josh, let's talk about these Indianapolis Colts. They've got some injury coming in. We want to obviously at the top of the hour when Rich Nye from WTHR Sports comes on, we're going to be really breaking down the numbers of this Indianapolis Colts Cleveland Browns game, but they're limping into Lucas Oil Stadium this weekend, right, Josh?
I would say yes, they're limping in, but they're at home, and that should be good enough for the Colts to pull off a W against the Cleveland Browns. Although I'm scared of Gary Brackett being hurt, what our defense is going to look like.
Now, Josh, let's talk about that real quickly here. And I need you to keep talking as we try to get some of these other guests on the line here. And Josh, I know you're downtown there, but what does the Colts have to do to beat the Cleveland Browns?
Well, they got to play better in all three phases of the game. I don't know about you, Tom. I'm sick and tired of turning on local talk radio this week, and they're trashing Kerry Collins. True, he turned the football over three times, but even if he doesn't turn the ball over, our defense played nowhere near good enough to win. We didn't run the ball. We didn't catch the ball. So it's time for people to back off Kerry Collins.
Right, and I think that's exactly what I said in the wrap-up on Monday. I think that we need to get to a situation to where this is not all Kerry Collins' fault. I think Kerry Collins prepared himself for the Colts, but the Colts did not prepare themselves for Kerry Collins. In fact, I don't think the Colts prepared themselves at all, and we'll certainly get into this in more detail with Rich Nye, but I don't think the Colts prepared themselves at all for a new quarterback for anybody other than Peyton Manning. I don't think they ever realized that there would ever come a day that Peyton Manning would not be taking the snaps for them.
I would say that's a good point. I think the Colts should get a much better performance Sunday, if for no reason then they're playing the Cleveland Browns, who, quite honestly, we should be able to beat with Curtis Painter under center.
Okay. All right, Josh, tell us a little bit else of what we've got going on. Obviously, we're going to talk about some Notre Dame and some Purdue. Let's talk about that Notre Dame-Michigan State game.
Well, Notre Dame's coming into that game 0-2. They should probably be 2-0. They appear to be a bit snake-bitten this year. I imagine Notre Dame is angry. They're, for lack of a better word, I don't know if I can say this on the radio, they're pissed off.
Well, you can say anything that you want here on the Internet for the most part. Okay, so let's talk about Purdue. Josh, I need you to keep talking here. I know you're busy, but we've got guests and stuff calling in. I've got to have you keep talking here.
All right, well, Purdue's coming into this game 1-1. They beat Tennessee State in week one. They lost to Rice last week in a tough, heartbreaking fashion. They finally have their man under center. Caleb Turbush looks to be a solid, if not spectacular, quarterback for the Purdue Boilermakers, certainly capable of making big throws. He may not be a Peyton Manning-type quarterback, although there's not very many of those in college football. They're coming home this Saturday for what should be a relatively easy game against Southeast Missouri State, and I do believe, Tom, you're going to be at that game, aren't you?
I am. I'm going to be at that Purdue game. We're going to go ahead and take a break here, Josh, because I need to get some things together here. So, Josh, what I want you to do is talk a little bit about this Purdue game as we can get some of these technical issues resolved on my end.
All right.
Go ahead, Josh. Josh, go right ahead.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
All right, welcome back to the Balanced Gridiron. My name is Tom Mark with El Presidente, and right alongside me is Mr. Josh Elmer. Josh, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. It appears you had a bit of technical difficulty, but everything is loud and clear now.
Okay. Well, Josh, I here's what we've got to do. I'm still working out a couple kinks here, and to our listeners, I apologize. Normally, we're able to communicate very well, and I know that Josh is down there at Conseco Fieldhouse for the Indiana Fever. Josh, what I want you to do real quickly is just kind of break down, tell our listeners what we got coming up on tonight's show.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the Indiana Fever playoff series that begins tonight. We're going to talk about Purdue Southeast Missouri State. We're going to talk about Indiana, South Carolina State this week, and we're going to talk about Notre Dame, Michigan State, Oklahoma, Florida State, Tennessee, Florida, LSU, Mississippi State. We're going to talk the Colts football. We're going to have what is becoming a weekly tradition here on The Balance. Last week it was 9/11. This week we're going to have somebody representing the Veterans Organization. I'm not entirely sure all the details on that particular group, but becoming a weekly feature here on the Balanced Gridiron that we're going to do something to recognize the United States military.
Right, absolutely. And, of course, we've got Gary Snyder coming up, and Jimmy the intern is going to be calling in as well, and we're going to be breaking down some IU football, and I know Gary Snyder is calling in at 7:30. So, Josh, tell us a little bit about what's in store for the Indiana Fever tonight.
Well, they're at home. It appears that they have about 8,000 fans, which is a shame. The Indiana Fever game is $10. For $10, you can get a hockey, get a T-shirt, the ticket in, a hot dog, a Coke, and a Pepsi. Best deal in pro sports in the city of Indianapolis. If they win tonight and there's a game three on Monday, this building needs to be sold out. They need a home court advantage, and that's so key in the playoffs. And New York will definitely have one on Saturday night, so the Fever have to win tonight. They cannot go to New York down 0-1 in the first round of the WNBA playoffs.
Right now. I'm sorry, Josh. And the fact is, quite simply, the Indiana Fever might be the only basketball that's played there in Conseco in the near future.
I would agree with that. I'm going to go ahead and predict, based on what I've heard, based on what I see, NBA fans, I hate to break it to you, we're not going to see the Indiana Pacers probably until October 2012. The good thing about that is if you're an athlete and you're injured and the season is canceled, that gives you a chance to get completely healthy before next fall gets here. That might be the only upside to this entire season being canceled, Tom.
Okay, now that it looks like that probably a lockout with the NBA is pretty imminent, what happens with the Pacers now?
Well, the Pacers aren't allowed to work out. Frank Vogel said he's going to need some much-needed time with his young, very attractive wife. They just got married not too long ago, and his two beautiful young daughters. As you can imagine, being the head coach of the Pacers, he doesn't get to see him too much when the Pacers aren't seasoned, so he said he's enjoying taking me to dance beside on playing outside and going on hikes and fishing trips. So right now I don't know that any of the players or coaches are too upset there's a lockout.
Well, you know, and the thing is, one would hope that they have stashed away enough money to make it with the money that they are making. So let's talk about the keys to the game, because once we get back from our 7:15 break, we're going to be really jumping into the guys from the path home, and they really have a great organization going on. And I tell you what, they've got about 50,000 veterans from all over the United States, all converging out there in Kokomo. So we're going to talk to them a little bit about that. We're also going to talk a little bit about what they can do to help you as veterans. So, Josh, real quickly, break down this Fever game for us.
Well, Katie Douglas and Tamika Catchings need to have a solid night for the Indiana Fever. They need to get out to a big lead here in the first quarter. I guess in basketball it's called the sixth man, needs to be really, really loud to support the Indiana Fever. More importantly, in the WNBA playoffs, traditionally, the team that wins the first quarter, for whatever reason, wins the game. Now, in the NBA, NFL, and college football, that's not necessarily the case. But in the WNBA, usually the team that wins the first quarter wins the game.
Okay. Well, and it's always exciting. You know, the WNBA has come a long way over the last few years, and it's exciting to see the Pacer organization embrace the WNBA and what all is going on there. Now, Josh, I know you got to get back in there. Josh is covering the Indiana Fever game for us downtown Indianapolis. When we get back from the break, we're going to be talking to some great Patriots, some veterans, and they're going to tell the veterans what it is that they're doing for them when we get back right after this break.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Welcome back to the Balanced Gridiron, coast to coast. Sorry about the little rough start there. Sometimes when you're dealing with satellites and trying to hook up with different locations across the United States, and then plus having a reporter down at Conseco Fieldhouse reporting on the Indiana Fever game, trying to make all the connections work, doesn't always happen at the same time. But we have made connections, I believe, with Bob and Mike, correct?
That's right. Yes.
Okay. All right. Now, Bob, I know that I was on the Gary Snyder show with you earlier today, and what a great time it was to talk with you last night and today as well. So I'm not even going to attempt to do what Gary did to butcher your name, because I've got one of those names, too, that if you were to look at it, you'd be like, that's not how you say it. So I'm just going to let you tell us, How do you say your last name, Bob, and what is its origin?
Well, it's actually German, but I am truly an American and proud of that heritage. But my last name is Lunebrink, and I try to keep it clean, and most people just call me Bob.
There we go. And Mike, yours is easy. Your last name's Dove, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. Mike Dove is also the chief of police in Brownsburg, Indiana, just outside of Indianapolis, which is the drag racing capital of the world. I know he wants to get more into that here in just a minute. But, guys, really, you guys have started a fantastic organization for veterans. So, Bob, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, and where you're going, and then we'll get you to Mike here in just a second.
Fantastic. I would like to again say thank you for having us on. I know we enjoyed the opportunity to spread the word on the other show earlier today, and now we're on the big show, spinning the big wheel, so we appreciate you having us on. Again,
oh, our,
we're
pleasure.
Here about... I'm sorry?
No, I just said my pleasure. Go right ahead. I apologize.
Okay, okay. We're again here to promote the program, The Path Home, and you know, basically how that got started. We had a couple veterans get together, and you know, we had our phones ringing, taking care of veterans from one telephone, and another veteran taking care of veterans on another phone. And we finally sat down and said, hey, why don't we try to do this in a bigger scale than just me and you? And so we got a couple, these guys got together and made this thing happen where we put the name The Path Home on this thing, and we started doing it, promoting it through the VFW, and it's very active here in the local area. The American Legion supported, and as well as many businesses around here to help us to help veterans. And what we're all about is making sure that veterans, when they return home, have the opportunity to get their benefits, and if they just need somebody to talk to or someone to share their experiences with, we help them with those things as well. And just trying to make sure that when they've earned the right to have these benefits and earn the right to the respect of what they've done for our country and our freedom, that they're treated properly and that we're here to make sure they get what they need.
Absolutely appreciate everything that you're doing there, Bob. My son Zach, obviously, he's been on this show before. Is in the Marines out in North Carolina and has already did one term out in Afghanistan and due to do another one here soon. So I appreciate your service and everything that you do for veterans. And one of the things that I know that we've talked about is that your services are absolutely 100% free to the veteran. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely, and we're very proud of that. You know, there's a lot of people out there that have little programs to help veterans and perhaps some attorneys that do things to help veterans with benefits and problems that they have. And what we do is absolutely free. We've also helped veterans in time of need where they might not be able to make a house payment or their insurance, or they ran into hard times or can't find a job. We help people financially as well. And everything we do is absolutely free due to the donations that we get that people send us to help support these guys.
Now, one thing before I get over here to Mike, I was looking on your website, and you've got a section there called From the Chronicles of Bushmaster and His Boot. I found that pretty interesting stories there. You want to tell us a little bit about those stories?
Well, basically, being a Green Beret, I like the idea of writing it in Marine context. That way people can't pick on me. But we write these things out because sometimes people get on the website and maybe they're a little disappointed. Maybe they got on there because they're really having hard times and they're looking for veteran assistance or whatever their situation might be. So we wanted to do something to add humor to the website and to lift people up. And so we would write these little things up, and we would take them down to the American Legion, the VFWs, and we would test drive them through the local community. And the veterans would listen to these or read these veteran-type stories, and we got a lot of laughs out of them. So we just kept building. And so many people that sit around me down at the Legion will say something, and I'll always give them a little wink and say, hey, I'll make you famous. So we put some of those quotes in there. Some of the stories in there are actually real things that happened to people while we were in combat, and some of the things that are in there are just things that happened across the American Legion counter or the VFW counter. But it's all done in humor, and there's no real serious stuff in there, but it's meant to add humor to people.
Well, what you do is very, very serious, and I know one of the things you guys have got going on out there in Kokomo, about 50,000 veterans from the United States are converging out there in Kokomo, Indiana. What's going on out there?
Well, that's just a great weekend. This weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, in Kokomo, Indiana, just off Highway 26, is a gathering where 2 years ago, 44,812 people were there. Last year, I lost count of how many people were there, but it was bigger than that. And this is my third year to go, and like I said in the interview earlier, I got my buddy Bay Raff from Pennsylvania that's coming in, and some other buddies that's going to be here, and we're going to go join up with that crowd. And what it's about is a place where veterans gather with the camaraderie, have little campsites, and we have live bands and all the entertainment, Huey's flying over and all that kind of stuff. But it's really about the camaraderie, honoring those who had fought for our country or served our country, especially honoring those who died. And there's a place there called the Healing Field where people can go and leave memorials to people that they lost in combat or friends that they've lost since combat. So it's a very honorable thing for us to get together, and we're all about camaraderie, and it's a place that you can get that, which you can't normally get in civilian life.
Absolutely, and we're talking. We're just going to say Mike and Bob from the Path Home, and what a great organization that they have. I had an opportunity to meet Bob last night, and he just began to explain to me what it is that he does, and it's something that he's very, very passionate about. And as our loyal listeners here at the Balance across the United States know, that we are 100% behind our troops and always encourage any veterans organization or anybody that helps the veterans to come on. Now, Mike, I know that you have kind of a unique way of supporting veterans and through the Path Home as well by doing some fishing in addition to your duties with the Brownsburg Police Department.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Okay, and tell us a little bit about your about what you've got going on with the fishing boat and everything that you do there, buddy.
You know, what happened was a couple of years ago, Bob and I got together and talked about this at the American Legion and talked about the Path Home program that they started. And I told him through networking and through the fishing organization, also being the chief out here and through the police network. And also we are the drag racing capital of the world. I want everybody to know that we have 100 race teams out here all together. And I've had a lot of classes and public speaking and marketing and whatnot. And so we got, being a veteran myself, sympathetic to the cause, and also the police work is a paramilitary organization, and we see a lot of the daily stresses that, you know, some people in the military have seen as well. So being a proud member of the Legion myself, I want to get involved and help. I told Bob I can help promote this and sort of be the face of this if need be and the voice if need be, and they can spend the time and the effort with the veterans and helping them out. My job would be to promote this. So what we created here with the a fishing program, what we do is we got a boat and a truck, put it together, started putting sponsors together and traveling all over more or less Indiana, the Midwest, and sometimes all over the country with this, just spreading the word and doing fishing tournaments, doing venues. There would be parades or car shows with the car and truck to show up. And, of course, naturally, people would want to ask and talk about what stickers and logos were on there. And just started the conversation. We'd pass out pamphlets, then they get information.
Hey, Mike,
on how to get a hold of them. Sorry?
Hey, Mike. Oh, I apologize. I hate to interrupt you, but Mike or Bob, one of you guys, I think, have your radio up just a little too loud, and we're getting some feedback. So just turn your radio down there. I apologize, but go ahead.
Okay. Is that better?
That's much better. Go right ahead.
Okay. So what we do is just, my job, this whole thing, is just promote it as much as I possibly can. And so what I do is I've gotten a hold of a lot of people in the racing industry and fishing industry, one of which, the first guys I sought out with, was 15 funny car champion John Force. He has his garage out here in Brownsburg, and he was more than happy to help out. And he was what I call the king of marketing and the racing industry. Then we got with a lot of local sponsors here, Bill Estes Ford in Brownsburg, the Comfort Suites, Wright & McGill Corporation out of Denver, Colorado, jumped her on right away. We also have some new ones coming on board, Legend Boats, and another one, Spencer Engineering out of Brownsburg. These all guys all sought us out, looked at us, and said, hey, they really want to be a part of this and helping veterans out. They sympathize with the cause. Just about every one of them sought us out and said, hey, you know, I either have a friend or a family member who's a veteran, or I'm a veteran myself. I understand what it's all about. I want to help you out. And that's what I ask people in this whole thing that I do is, you know, it's not easy going out and tournament fish, or it's not easy getting that boat and truck down the road. It costs a lot of money, you know. Especially with today's gas prices being what they are, pulling a truck and a boat down the road costs you a lot just to get it going down the road, so it costs a lot of money to do those things. So these sponsors have reached out with either product or monetary issues to help out with that, just out of the goodness of their heart. They're not expecting a whole lot. So in return, what I try to do is try to promote them as much as I can. And my saying in all my interviews and talks that I've done is, you know, take a look at our website. Thepathhome.net is a great program. You can get on the website, look at what services they have available, and also you can get a hold of Dove Fishing at dovefishing.com. And I also have a Facebook account. It's Mike Dove Fishing. And what I ask is, look at those sponsors or the people that are involved with this program that are either in support, that everyday things, or they help with sponsorship or get just anything we need. Just look at those sponsors and support those who support us, support veterans. And that's my whole job in this thing, is go out and reach out and find these people that want to help out with the veterans and help Bob and his cause with his guys, because they do a tremendous job. You wouldn't believe how many times I go across, I mean, not just Indiana, but throughout the Midwest, my boat and truck, and I see people at gas stations or restaurants or parked out. There's people taking pictures of my boat and truck just because the uniqueness of it and it's what it stands for. And everybody on that truck and boat that I have is a good character and a good company. You know, I've looked them over and sought them out. I don't have anybody on there that's not a good reputation. That's important, too. This thing has got to have credibility to it, because if it doesn't, it kind of loses sight of what we're trying to do. And like as Bob alluded to earlier, guys have paid their dues and made sacrifices for our country, and they served their country well. Now it's time, our time, to take care of them. You know, and like most people, as I did when I got out of the military, Bob and I talked about this quite a bit, is when you get out, you're getting ready to adjust back to civilian life, and you're getting ready, your term is up or whatever you may call it, that you don't really hear about what they're telling you when you get out, you know, what kind of benefits are available to you. You don't really understand what's in store for you. You're just ready to get back home or to wherever you came from and move on. So what happens is you get out, you get adjusted, and all of a sudden, boom, you're in a different world. You're in a different environment than you remember. You have issues financially, or you don't know what the VA benefits are, or you may have a disability you're unaware of how to take care of that. So Bob and his crew have reached out and found all the people they possibly can to get these guys the help they need and show them what benefits are available. Or they may just simply have sit down and have a cup of coffee, because a lot of times I think that's what some of these guys need when they get back home.
Oh,
it's just somebody to talk to and sit down and share their experiences with that have been there. Because, you know, it's hard to express feelings about something that, you know, if you don't know about it, to somebody else, if that makes sense. So.
No, it makes complete sense, and we totally honor you and your service. Now, I know that you guys are supported by the American Legion right there in Brownsburg, Indiana, very, very heavily. But how can other legions and other members and other veterans across the United States get involved and maybe create a chapter with their American Legion or something? How can they go about doing that?
Well, they can either get a hold of Bob at thepathhome.net, and there's his numbers are on that website. Also, you can get a hold of look at dovefishing.com, or you can reach out on Facebook at Mike Dove Fishing, and you can send us a message on either one of those sites and ask us how to get involved or how to start a chapter or reach out and some ideas. And we'll I'll make sure and make a promise that we'll put contact with the right people to do that. And the biggest thing is just putting the time in and having people and the staff to do it. That's the biggest thing, and having the resources to do it.
Now, Mike, I know we're Facebook friends. Now, you're going to have to make sure you add Gary Snyder as well to your Facebook page there as well. You've got a big fish on there. I'm looking at this thing right now. I'm really not sure what it is there.
I don't know where are you at? Which Facebook or?
The Dove Fishing one. You've got a red jacket on and a big fish here.
That's a northern pike. That was up there in Canada. We go up to Canada a couple times a year. We also go up to the Brainerd area and do some stuff up there. I've talked to some veterans organizations up there. And I actually got to meet Al Linder of Angling Edge up there, one of my idols in the fishing world, if you will. And he helped out. He's a veteran himself. He's a Marine, him and his brother both. Ron Linder are veterans of Marine Corps. So we go up north quite a bit and try to catch things with teeth, and that's what you're seeing on there is a northern pike. So we have a lot of fun. We get up there, and it's a good time.
Well, guys, we've got time for one more question. I want to give it to Bob. Bob,
okay.
What I would like for you to do is just quickly tell us what services you guys offer and how they can, again, find you. I know they're on the website or your phone number. And then we've got to get to a break. And it's been great talking with you guys today. And I really, really appreciate you joining us. And we'll make sure that we have a link on the balance online.com. And I'll make sure that I link you through Facebook and Twitter as well, Bob. But go ahead. You've got the last word here. Just really break it down for us.
Okay, well, basically our website at thepathhome.net's got all the information about what we do and how we do it. It tells a lot about how we got started and what we're all about. But what we do to help people, that sometimes people just need information about VA benefits, or they need forms, special forms, or eligibility requirements. We have a frequently asked questions list on our website where people can click on the question and it goes directly to the VA answer. We also hook people up with advocates. If you've got a claim that's kind of being laying stagnant somewhere and you're not getting your claim processed, we get you a legitimate person that's going to help you for absolutely free to help you get your claim processed so that you're not just a pile of papers on someone's desk. We get that paper moving again. We also, again, help people with monetary issues when they have some issues like that. And that's very important because there's not a lot of money in the world, and when times are hard, there's even less. So we do those kind of things. And, again, our website's got the greatest information about what we do and how we do it.
All right, guys, well, I can't tell you how much we appreciate it. When we get back, we're going to break down Notre Dame, Michigan State, and IU, South Carolina. This is the Balanced Gridiron on Blog Talk Radio all over the United States. Thanks, guys, for joining us.
Thanks.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
Bed.
When you poop in your dreams, you poop for real.
All right, welcome back to the Balanced Gridiron. My name's Sal Mark with El Presidente, and right alongside me, down at Conseco Fieldhouse, covering for the Balance, the Indiana Fever game, is Mr. $2 Bill Josh. Josh, are you with us? I thought we had Josh. Josh, are you with us? Well, I think we do have Jimmy the intern, and we also have Mr. Gary Snyder from the Gary Snyder Show. And Josh, if you come back to us, you can just chime in any time. But are you guys with us?
I am right here.
All right, I got an echo. I think everybody's here. Josh, are you here? Okay, well, We're having problems with Josh today because Josh is down at Conseco Fieldhouse covering the Fever game, and he's also trying to be the best darn co-host that he possibly can be. But we're going to break down some Notre Dame and some IU. Want to make sure that we also thank our newest sponsor to the Balance here, Dominion Home Builders here in Indianapolis. Winter is rapidly approaching, and time is running out to get that much-needed work done on your home. Get a leaky roof or storm damage. Got leaking roof or storm damage? Call Dominion Home Builders now at 317-523-8414. DHB is an honest, top-notch general contractor serving central Indiana. Call them today, 317-523-8414. That's 317-523-8414. Or just go to dhbindiana.com. And as for Mike, I guarantee you, Mike Daly will set you up good and proper. Well, somebody needs to set up Notre Dame, Gary Snyder, and what needs to happen out there?
They need to hang on to the football. Plain and simple. they hang on to the football. We're talking about them in the context of a national championship. Since they can't hold on to the football, now, you know, even speculation is starting to swirl about Brian Kelly, and is he the right person for the job? It's amazing what a couple of turnovers in the red zone will do over two games versus winning two games and how you're perceived.
Absolutely. And I know that I talked a little bit on your show about how Notre Dame just isn't playing Notre Dame football, and they've got to get their act together. And Michigan State, and Jimmy, you can chime in on this too as well, but Michigan State is a team that's coming in 2-0, and Notre Dame, unfortunately, is still looking for their first win, and unfortunately, they have to do that against the Michigan State Spartans. Are you guys there, Josh? I think we got Josh now. Josh, are you with us?
Yes, I wanted to comment on what Gary Snyder just said. Sorry to be loud. I'm actually in Conseco. But Irish fans need to get over this love affair with Urban Meyer. He's been offered the job twice and said no twice. He's not coming to Notre Dame. Learn to embrace Brian Kelly and get over it.
I would agree with you. I've not heard of the Urban Meyer, I guess, rumors, but they were definitely out there last time, and you know, by no means was I indicating Brian Kelly is gone or will be. Obviously, the rumors start swirling when you're a Notre Dame coach and you lose two of your first two games. You go 0-2 to start the season, but again, when you put this in context, you know, they are you know, and you know, you hate to say ifs and but a lot, but if they don't fumble, they're 2-0 and still in the national championship talk.
Okay. Well, now Jimmy, I want you to chime in on this conversation as well. I know you're a Notre Dame fan, even though Jimmy the intern is with us, and we're going to break down the IU South Carolina game here in just a moment. But what are your thoughts on Notre Dame and Michigan State this weekend, Jimmy?
Well, Tom, I follow Notre Dame pretty closely, and I'd like to say, you know, thanks for having me on. But I would like to say, just in regards to this Michigan State Notre Dame game. The talent level on both teams, I think Notre Dame actually has the edge. I think they're the more talented team. And if we see Tommy Rees or whoever ends up playing quarterback, if he gets replaced by Dane Chris, because you never know, whoever plays quarterback, most likely Rees, this weekend, if he plays well and avoids turnovers, I don't think that there's a question that Notre Dame wins this game. Gary said something that maybe sounds a little bit out there. I think it's closer to the truth than a lot of people want to say. I was really impressed at how this Notre Dame team finished the season. I thought that another season with, you know, more experience, Rees coming back or Chris coming back, Sierra Wood getting all the time in the backfield, he's ridiculously talented, and Michael Floyd coming back too. In addition to that defense, that team is good enough to make it to a BCS bowl game, and if they had won those first two games, you know, they're sitting 2-0, and this team developed as it went along last year. It's a very talented team. All they need to do is cut down on those turnovers, like Gary mentioned before. And if Tommy Rees can play a clean game from that quarterback spot, and if Sierra Wood or Jonas Gray can stop fumbling the football, Notre Dame is going to be more talented than every team they play this year, with probably the exception of Stanford.
Okay, and I know, Josh, I know you had another question for Gary about Notre Dame.
Well, actually, I do have a question. I want to agree with Jimmy, too. Notre Dame, with one exception, Notre Dame is more talented than any team, including Stanford. You take off of Stanford, they're a 5-1 ball club at best. My question is, Gary, is there any pressure on Tommy Rees yet? Because when, as an Irish fan, he inspires me to watch.
I don't think there's much pressure on him right now as there was on Dane Chris at the start of the season. You know, we talked a little bit earlier on my show today about, the team gelling, coming together, and that maybe you still have holdovers from Charlie Wise, which Dane Crist is, and Tommy Rees. But you also have, you know, some of Brian Kelly's guys now working into the mix. And one thing that really stood out to me on the press conference that Brian Kelly did when he announced Dane Crist as a starter was the fact that he thought that they had a better relationship now. He understood Dane Crist more, and that's why he went with him. And, boy, it did not take long to pull that plug and stick in Tommy Rees. And when you look going forward, you know, I think Tommy Rees has a little more leeway because they're not going to yank this young man out unless he's just playing terrible and stick Dane Crist back in there. Then you have two quarterbacks with no confidence.
And, Tom, I don't know if you would mind if I jumped in here just to respond to that. Would that be okay?
No, Jim, you can jump in anytime you want, absolutely. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Okay, outstanding. Gary, the only thing I would say to that is that that's the main reason that Tommy Rees has been playing. I don't think there's a single fan of Notre Dame football who really prefers Tommy Rees for any other reason than they just don't trust Dane Crist. I mean, Crist is very talented. I said this on your show a little earlier today. He's the more talented of the two, and he has more upside. But Rees is just more consistent, and he's been more confident. And that's the main thing that it's been, that Tommy Rees is just able to go out there and play and even throw interceptions without being, you know, without being flapped, without being really thrown off his game. So I don't know if it's so much a worry of him not being confident out there playing quarterback. I think it's more just a question of him – if he has the talent level to be a quarterback in Notre Dame.
Well, you have to, as a quarterback at Notre Dame, and I would say any, top-notch school like Notre Dame, as a quarterback, you have to have no conscience. You have to be able to forget what you did last series and go out there and perform again. And I don't think that's something Dane Crist could do, whether he was worried about being pulled, whether he was worried about injury, or whether he was just gun-shy from getting sacked or picked so many times. He would just hold on to the ball way too long. That causes interceptions, sacks, and fumbles, and that's not something that Brian Kelly is going to stand for. When you see Tommy Rees out there, he throws an interception, he's back out swinging it the next time, and one thing you don't see Tommy Rees doing a lot of, I would say fumbles, but boy, he let one go right out of his hand when he was throwing last week. But you don't see him holding on to the ball too long and taking those sacks.
And it just seems like either way you slice it right now, that quarterback is Notre Dame's weak spot, whether it's Crist or Rees in there, just because, you know, Rees, even though he's been more confident, has definitely been interception prone. He's been prone to turnovers. And with all the skill position talent he has around him, T.J. Jones, Theo Riddick, Michael Floyd, Pierre Wood, Tyler Eifert, tight end, there's just so much talent there. That if, you know, say Jimmy Clausen was still there, if Brady Quinn was there, that's a team that has really no weaknesses on offense. But unfortunately, quarterback just hasn't been able to step up.
Well, let me add, I don't think it's necessarily the quarterback. Obviously, there's been a few interceptions, but there have been some fumbles that have cost them too. And when you go back and you look at how Tommy Rees has moved this team, both at the second part of the opening game, and then last week against Michigan, I don't think moving the ball is necessarily the problem. It's holding on to it. There were a couple interceptions and fumbles, but again, there are a couple of turnovers away from being 2-0 in the national championship talk.
Definitely.
Right. Well, guys, we want to move this conversation along because we certainly want to make sure that we have time to break down the IU-South Carolina game. And, Jimmy, we want to get your thoughts, and Gary and Josh as well. Also, I know that we have a Super Colts fan, Brian, on the line on hold with us. So, and I know he wants to talk some Colts, and we'll get to him here in just a second. And we've got Rich and I from WTHR Sports calling in right at 8 o'clock here to talk about that very subject, about the Colts. So we hope you guys can stick around for that. But, Jimmy, real quickly, IU, been struggling, got good team, got good talent, got a new coach. What are the keys, Jimmy, that Indiana has to do to come out with a win this weekend?
Well, Tom, I covered this on Gary's show, and I just covered it on a podcast that I finished recording about 20 minutes ago. But keys to the game, and by the way, you can find that podcast on iusportcom.com. Shameless plug. Back to your question.
Take all you want.
Keys, yep. Say what?
All right. No, I said go ahead. Talk all you want about it.
Okay,
it's a shameless plug. I said plug all you want. It's fine.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Anyway, getting back to keys to the game, it's going to come down. If I use in danger of losing this game, it'll be because their offense performed abysmally. South Carolina State has a pretty good defense. They have a miserable offense. They've been struggling all season long, only two games. But they have not yet broken 20 points against Bethune-Cookman or Central Michigan. And the fact that IU played as well as they did against Virginia in that second half, if they come out with any amount of energy and any amount of want to, they should be able to absolutely throttle South Carolina State's offense. So it'll come down to how Edward Wright Baker and the Indiana offense play. And I think they should be able to move the ball. I think they should be able to score some points. And this should be the first win of Kevin Wilson's IU football career. If it's not, there's something seriously wrong in Bloomington.
Josh, I know you have a question.
My question is more a comment than a question. I was down at Memorial Stadium last Saturday. And in the second half, I think you can see a glimpse of what IU could be. The problem with what IU could be, it's never going to be with Edward Wright Baker under center. I don't know if you agree or not, Jimmy. He's basically keeping Gunnar Keel spot warm.
I actually do think I agree with that. The main reason that I'm as okay with Ed as the starting quarterback as I am is that Dusty Keel was an abomination when he got to play last year, and Trey Roberson is a true freshman working with a tenth of the playbook. Right now, Edward Wright Baker is in there by default because neither of the other options allow IU as much flexibility. Now, I honestly would not be surprised if Gunnar Keel came in and, say, Trey Roberson developed enough to start for a year behind still a patchwork offensive line. I'd put it 80% that Gunnar's able to come in and start his true freshman year in the first game. But don't count out Trey Roberson. He's, you know, we saw him, like, for two plays. He got stopped behind the line. But I've gotten the chance to see him in just a couple practices. Most of them are closed. But from what I've seen from Trey Roberson, he's extraordinarily dynamic. He's like Kellen Lewis, Kellen Lewis without the cocaine.
Absolutely. I know that we have Super Colts fan right here with us, and we want to get to him here in just a minute. Josh, I'm going to give you one more question after this because he's out of Conseco, so he can't really see my cues. Jimmy. If you said just a few minutes ago, if Indiana cannot win on Saturday against South Carolina, that there's something seriously wrong. What happens if they don't win? What happens to Coach Wilson? Not that he's going to get fired, but do you think the heat gets turned up a little bit?
I don't know if it's anything quite as serious as that. You're forgetting that Indiana football fans are a very durable breed. We've withstood years of Cam Cameron and Jerry DiNardo and Bill Lynch more recently. I think that despite all the win today talk, the loss to Ball State really tempered those expectations for the year. Specifically, if they lose to South Carolina State, I can see them finishing this season without a win, just because there's nobody else on the schedule as soft as South Carolina State. South Carolina State's not soft, per se, but North Texas is not going to be an easy game compared to this, and nobody in the Big Ten is going to be an easy game compared to this. It's at home. It's an FCS school with an offense that's been absolutely anemic. So as far as just what happens from here, I think if they lose to South Carolina State, all fan interest is gone at that point. But, again, I don't think that's going to happen. Wilson has spent all this week in practice telling his players constantly that they're not bringing enough effort, that they need to bring more effort. And, honestly, I think he's trying to build towards an absolute throttling of South Carolina State this week. And I think Mike Eckler, the defensive coordinator, wants a shutout, and that's something that I think could happen. And I think he wants his offense to really ring up some points. He's been getting under their skin all week. I wouldn't be surprised to see IU come out with a fire under their butts and absolutely kick the snot out of South Carolina State.
All right, Jimmy. Well, real quickly, Josh, we want to let you get the last question in, and we've really got to make this fit in for about 60 seconds because we've got to get Super Colts fan on here and get his comments about Sunday's game, because right up here at the top of the hour, we've got Rich Nye from WTHR Sports. So go ahead, Josh. Josh. Well, maybe we lost Josh. He's down at Conseco Fieldhouse. Are you there, Josh? Well, it looks like we've lost Josh. So real quickly, Jimmy, just tell us the keys to South Carolina. What does South Carolina have to do to beat IU?
They need to force a ton of turnovers and get kind of lucky. And that's the point it is. The game against Bethune-Cookman, a big rival, they were outgained by about 200 yards, and they forced the other quarterback to throw four interceptions. It's going to have to be something like that. There has to be a ton of mistakes on IU's side of the ball. I guarantee that if they somehow find a way to win, I'm going to have to give you like a blow-by-blow of the press conference afterwards, because Kevin Wilson – He may end up killing a player in the locker room. I mean, there's no way that they should lose to South Carolina State.
All right, well, we're gonna have to leave it at that. Jimmy, the intern, always welcome here on the Balance, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk with you again next week about IU and hopefully talk about a victory with IU. Jimmy, the intern, Jimmy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks very much for your time, Tom. Anytime.
All right, buddy. All right, this is the Balance Gridiron. Mr. Super Colts fan, I know you've been waiting for a while, and I apologize for that. Sometimes you just run a little bit behind. We've got about 5 minutes here that we want to talk to the fans, and you are our official mascot of the Balance to lead the charge into every Colts game. And Josh, are you with us? Okay, I think we've lost Josh.
Yes, I am here.
Okay, Josh, we're here with Super Colts fan, and we're just talking to our Balance mascot. The guy is going to lead us into the weekend. Brian, the Colts need help. What do we got to do? It's 12th man up. What do they got to do?
Oh, man. Kerry Collins just lurked so nervous out there. I mean, those two fumbles in a row. I mean, he was just defined just over 3 weeks ago, and I think if he finds his rhythm, we'll be all right. But I mean, he has some big shoes to fill, and he didn't look that promising. But then in the second half, he started to come out of it. But I mean, too bad he didn't come out of it in the first half. But hopefully, maybe that second half they came out of it, that'll lead into this game, and he can continue on doing what he was doing in the second half this game. But it really wasn't that bad of a game, except for the fact that they returned one, and then those two fumbles, they were within the 20th scoring, so right there is 21 points.
Absolutely. Josh, you're down at I know Josh is down at Conseco. He's covering the Fever game for us. Josh, can we hear you? Do you have anything for Super Colts fan?
I just wanted to say I got a chance to chat with you Sunday at the Colts Grill. At least I believe it was you.
What was that? I get a lot of interference. I can't hear you.
Yeah, he said he had an opportunity to meet you down at the Colts Grill on Sunday. We lost him on the drop call there. Well, that happens sometimes. He, like I said, he's down at Conseco, we've got Rich Nye with WTHR Sports that's getting ready to come on here, and we're really going to break down by the numbers what the Colts have to do to beat the Cleveland Browns. Real quickly, Brian, what do the Colts have to do?
That Kerry Collins just needs to, focus, like I said, he has some big shoes to fill, and I think he needs to use Austin Colley and, his slot receivers a little bit more. I mean, he was trying to throw to Pierre, Reggie Wayne pretty much all the game from what it looked like, and he was looking more towards the sideline to make a play. He wasn't really looking over over the entire field where, Peyton Manning would come in there and he'd utilize all of his receivers. Clark had some receptions. Austin Kelly had a few, but, he didn't look confident out there. And, the special teams need to get it together too. I mean, it's not only Kerry Collins. I mean, I think it was a whole team effort. And, I think we're hurting on special teams. I think that's going to be a really weak point this year, especially, you know, when we're kicking off or punting, you know. And I mean, the defense, I mean, how can you, when they get the ball down inside the 20, you know, right there to score on those fumbles, I mean, how can you, you know, stop that? I mean, you know, they're going to at least get a field goal out of that. So, I mean, you can't really blame the defense totally. But, yeah, I mean, the other plays, you know, to lead, you know, Houston down there, I mean, you know, the defense could have stopped them a few times. There's a couple big plays. They really, you know, didn't stop, you know, the run much. And it's just always been, you know, it's always been run defense with us where it's been a problem. And they just, they need to, you know, take care of that. But, I mean, it seems like it's always an issue. But, you know, then again, when Peyton Manning's on the field, it's all about clock management and, you know, getting it in our hands, and the time of possession at the end of the game is always in our favor. And that, you know, that's one thing that we miss out there is Peyton Manning being able to do that. And Kerry Collins, he don't look right. You know, he's only been there for 3 weeks, and he needs to calm down. And, you know, I believe that he can do it, but I mean, it needs to start, and it needs to start now.
All right, Josh, real quickly, any last comments for Brian, Super Colts fan?
All right, Brian, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor on Sunday. Make sure you get the fans as fired up as you can at Lucas to support Kerry Collins. You know, look at our chance to him this week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, the 12th man is up, and leading the charge is a Super Colts fan. Make sure that you get a chance to talk with him. You can't miss him down at tailgating. I'm sure that him and his partner in crime, Mike, will be around. Brian, it's always a pleasure to have you here on The Balance. 12th man, they're up. Hopefully they can deliver on Sunday.
Hopefully we can.
All right. That's Brian Jensen, Super Colts fan, here on Blog Talk Radio. We are coast to coast. We're waiting to connect right now here in just a moment with Rich Nye. And when we get back, we'll talk some Colts football, hopefully with Rich Nye. But we're definitely going to dive into the Colts football subject. And we've got also on the line Josh Elmore, $2 bill Josh, down at Conseco covering the Fever game for us. This is The Balance, Gridiron on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on The Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
Welcome back to The Balance, Gridiron. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente, and right alongside me, as usual, is Mr. $2 Bill Josh, who's out at Conseco Fieldhouse covering the Fever game, and we'll get right to him in just a minute. We're still trying to connect with Rich and I from WTHR. Hopefully he'll be on the line here real quickly. We also want to make sure that we welcome our newest sponsor to The Balance, Dominion Home Builders here in Indiana. Winter is rapidly approaching, and time is running out to get that much-needed work done in your home. Get a leaky roof or do you have a leaky roof or storm damage? Call Dominion Home Builders at 317-523-8414. DHB is an honest, top-notch general contractor serving central Indiana. Call them today, 317-523-8414. That's 317-523-8414 or online, dhbindiana.com. And Mike Daly will make sure that he takes care of you as well. Well, this is The Balance Gridiron, and joining us on the line as well is Mr. Rich Nye from WTHR Sports. Rich, are you with us?
I sure am. Good evening.
Good evening. So glad that you could join us coast to coast here on Blog Talk Radio to talk a little bit of Colts. And alongside with me is also, but he's down at Conseco, so hopefully we don't lose him too bad, is my co-host Josh Elmore. I know you're down there covering the Fever game, and we'll certainly get into Colts here in just a minute, Rich. But it looks like that could be about the only basketball that's played down there at Conseco in the foreseeable future.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're dealing with an NBA lockout where I think the issues are, well, let me say not the issues aren't, they're about the same as the NFL, but let me say it this way, the two sides, I think, are a lot farther apart than they ever were in the NFL dispute. And so I think that we are going to lose some NBA basketball this season, and I hope we just don't lose an entire season.
Well, let me ask you this real quickly. With the Pacers and the play, is there any of them that you've heard that might be going overseas? What are they going to be doing in this lockout period? And I know there's rumors that some of them will be going overseas and playing in different leagues.
Well, I think that eventually some might consider that option. I don't think we're to that point yet. I don't think any of them. I don't think a majority of NBA players, including Pacers, will take that option until we get to late October, and it becomes obvious that there's not going to be an NBA season starting on time. When that becomes obvious, then I think that some of them might take that option, and I think most of them would work deals with their teams that would allow them to leave once an NBA settlement is reached between the players and owners. I have talked to some guys like a Chris Thomas I know, who has played in the European League for many years, former Indiana Mr. Basketball from Pike High School, who played at Notre Dame, and he told me, you know, some of these guys would be in for a rude awakening. It's not NBA lifestyle in Europe when you're playing for these teams. You don't travel first class. You've got tough road trips. It's minor league compared to the NBA. And so it would be a rude awakening for some of these NBA players. But for some guys who feel like they need some money or want to play or need to stay in shape, there may be some guys who consider it. But I don't think it'll be any large number of NBA or Pacers players for that matter.
Okay. Well, like I said, my co-host Josh Elmore is out down at Conseco, and Josh, I know you have a quick NBA question for Rich, and then we're going to jump into the Colts. But go right ahead, Josh.
Rich, what do you think about the NBA players today? I guess they hired Demore Smith of the NFL Players Association to come and help them out.
What do I think of that move to hire DeMorris? I don't think it could hurt them. Obviously, he was a guy who was able to broker a 10-year deal in the NFL that was a very tough situation, was a deal where owners and players were far apart and where they were on the brink of losing regular season games. And now they've got a deal that seems to have brought some labor peace in that league for at least the next decade. So I don't see how that could hurt them at all. I think it should help.
Well, we're talking with Rich Nye from WTHR Sports here in Indianapolis on the Balance Gridiron. We wanted to just make sure that we mentioned that, not so much in passing, just because of the fact that it is breaking news, and I know that the Pacers were affected with that. But moving across the downtown area to the Lucas Oil, The Indianapolis Colts, they are really limping into the 2011 season. So I guess by the numbers, I kind of want to take it down. Peyton Manning obviously is our biggest concern, and then of course, you know, with the latest defense issue, what is the outlook for the Indianapolis Colts? Is it a suck for luck type situation or what?
Well, I think the Colts are going to make the playoffs at this point is far fetched. I think that if the Colts can go 7-9, they'd have to be pretty pleased with that. I think given the loss of Peyton Manning, that's a huge loss. And this team has enough veteran players that I think they can continue to be a team that is not going to roll over and play like they did in Houston every week. And I think they'll be competitive. And 7-9 in the NFL is very competitive. But I think it's far-fetched to think that this team will go back to the playoffs for a 10th straight year. And I know that's hard for Colts fans to hear when it's week two of the NFL season, but if you're asking me, I think that's the reality.
Okay. And Josh, I know you can't see my cues right now, but go ahead.
My question is, do you think Donald Brown has much of a future left here in the city, or is he pretty much done?
I think that Donald Brown is in a situation where he was lucky to be on the roster this season. And I think if he was not a first-round draft choice, he probably would not be on the roster anymore. But I think the Colts, because of his draft status, want to give him every opportunity. And obviously because of where they drafted him, they feel like he has potential. But I feel like based on his performance and the way the coaches have treated him now for the past year and a half, obviously the current coaching regime does not feel that he can produce at that position in favor of other players. And so I think that he's fortunate to be on the roster this season. If Joseph Addai gets hurt, he may get another opportunity, and that may give him one more chance to prove himself. But at this point, I think he's been fortunate to stay on the roster.
Now, speaking of people who have been fortunate enough to stay on the roster, what is the plans of the Indianapolis Colts for Curtis Painter?
Someone there likes what Curtis does, and I'm not sure who it is. It's not me, but I don't make those kind of decisions. I think Curtis has had every opportunity in 3 years to prove that he can play at the NFL level and to show that he has potential at the NFL level, and I simply have not seen that potential. And I think the Colts obviously saw that he wasn't ready to be their starting quarterback by bringing in Kerry Collins. So whatever the belief is in Curtis Painter, pardon me, I think that, you know, there was some reality in that when they brought in Kerry Collins this season, obviously.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Kerry Collins because, I mean, to me, Kerry Collins is no stranger to the NFL game, obviously, and he's very well familiar with some of the, you know, Bill Polian and Jim Caldwell. And so I don't think that we should be, as fans, we should be too quick to crucify him on the cross, per se, because of the fact that he just arrived. I know he's studying very hard. My question would be, do you think that Kerry isn't preparing enough for the Colts, or is the Colts not preparing enough for Kerry Collins?
Oh, I just think it's a matter of Kerry Collins was here for 17 days before he played his first game for the Colts. And no matter how much time you spend no matter how hard you study the night before the test, if that's all you've studied, you're not going to perform as well as the guy who has been doing all his homework the whole semester and is prepared for the test when it comes along. And I think that's what Kerry Collins got himself into. I think, obviously, he worked hard in the time he's been here. I think he studied as much as he can. I think the Colts scaled back the offense for him. And I think he did a good job learning what he could learn in the time that he was here. But I think when you look at the mistakes that he made, like fumbling a snap, for instance, that's not necessarily anything that comes from not knowing the playbook. I think that's more a mistake of Jeff Saturday and Kerry Collins just haven't taken that many snaps together. And so I think it's just issues of time, and I think Kerry Collins is a guy who will do a good job for the Colts, but I just don't think that's a good enough job to make the playoffs. But, hey, if you win seven games, I'm giving you that I think Kerry Collins is going to play pretty well at some point.
Hey, we're talking to Rich Nye from WTHR here in Indianapolis, WTHR, and he covers a lot with the Colts. Josh, do you have another question for Rich?
Well, my biggest thing, and I don't know what you took away from the game Sunday, Rich, it seemed like the last couple of years the Colts get down, I'm sorry, we have Manning. I kind of got the feeling when they got down, they quit caring for a majority of the game. Then all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, they turned it back on. Do you think that's a fair perception or a little harsh?
I think they definitely were shell-shocked by getting down 17-0 in Houston. I also think Houston's a very good football team and may be finally poised to take over the division. I thought they were going to be a team to do that last year, and they didn't do it. But I think Houston's a very good football team. I think the Colts were shell-shocked by the way the game started. And then the anxiety of what would this team be without Peyton Manning turned into their worst reality within the first quarter of that game. And that was hard for them to bounce back from mentally. I didn't see quitting the team, but I did see a lot of poor tackling. And I was more disappointed, quite honestly, in the defense than I was the offense. Once the offense quit making turnovers and quit having mistakes that shot themselves in the foot, I thought the offense performed reasonably well and at least moved the ball some, but I thought it was more an issue of just them being hit early, hit often, and in such a hole that they're like, wow, this is what everybody feared, and this is what we feared, this is what all our fans feared, and it's become a nightmare reality in one quarter.
Do you think that maybe the Colts lost the game on Sunday in part because of their lack of confidence in Kerry Collins?
I think they lost the game in part because of uncertainty about how they would perform and what they had going into the game. And I think that might be a fair statement. I guess that would be lack of confidence. So, yes, I wouldn't say it's necessarily a lack of confidence in Kerry Collins going forward, or that he can't do the job, but a lack of confidence in the offense's ability to perform given the time they'd had to prepare.
Now, Rich, earlier on this week on Monday on the show, Josh and I were talking, and I was saying I don't think Kerry Collins lost the game for the Colts on all the local radio shows here in town. They've been really just bashing Kerry Collins. I think every facet of the Indianapolis Colts, from the fans, quite literally from the fans, all the way to the local news talk stations, to just everybody in general, just really threw the bricks and is ready to stone Kerry Collins. But I think everybody else failed the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday.
I don't perceive a great outcry against Kerry Collins. Maybe I'm missing it. Maybe you see it and I don't. I don't see a great outcry against Kerry Collins. I think the guy made one bad mistake, but in terms of fumbling a snap. But most quarterbacks would have been sacked in the situations where he was sacked, and several quarterbacks would have fumbled in the situations where he fumbled. So I'm not sure how anybody can put that huge blame on Kerry Collins. He didn't throw any interceptions. I didn't see him missing receivers badly with his passes. So I don't see that. Maybe people are saying that, and I haven't heard it. Maybe I haven't listened. But as I said a few minutes ago, I think a lot more of the disappointment for me was in the defense than the offense. And certainly, you know, an old bugaboo for the Colts, give up a special teams touchdown doesn't help either. Now, by that point. The ball was rolling, and it was probably out of control already, and one touchdown wasn't going to make a big difference. But it was another example of an ongoing problem for the Colts, giving up special teams touchdowns.
Josh?
I would totally agree. I really haven't heard that much outcry from local people about Kerry Collins, kind of the Colts fan. And I don't know how much sports talk radio you get a chance to listen to, Rich. I am sick and tired of Mike and Mike, Colin Cowherd, and all those quote-unquote experts saying the Colts got caught unprepared, or we're the worst team in the NFL this year, or we might as well get used to losing 34-7. Do you think Jim Caldwell's posting any of that on the billboard?
I don't think he's really that kind of a guy. I don't think that he thinks that will motivate his team or that they need that to motivate the Colts. So I don't think they pay much attention to that kind of stuff. I really don't. And other coaches might get into that kind of bulletin board stuff, and maybe some players hear it and respond to it in some way, and maybe they get a little fired up about it. But that doesn't strike me as something that would get Kerry Collins going. I mean, would get Jim Caldwell going. And just to go back to the Kerry Collins point one more time, I honestly think that Kerry Collins was about the best option the Colts had going into this season, getting what was available at the time that they realized Peyton Manning was not going to be able to play this season. And so I think you got to give Kerry a couple more weeks to continue to mature in the offense. And I think he'll play in a competent way. I'm not saying he's going to be Peyton Manning, no way. And I'm not saying they're going to be able to run the no-huddle offense with Kerry Collins waving his hands like a bird at the line of scrimmage. But I think Kerry Collins will be a competent quarterback for the Colts.
We're talking to Rich Nye with WTHR Sports. Rich, real quickly, has anybody ever said Rich the Science Guy? Remember that show that used to be on?
Oh, yeah.
Rich,
all the time.
Rich
in fact, the nickname that people have put on me, Rich Nye the Sports Guy, I certainly didn't come up with, but it's just a deliberate spin on Bill Nye the Science Guy. And usually when people meet me for the first time, that's one of the first two questions they ask are you related to Bill? And just for the record, to my knowledge, I am not. But I've enjoyed his work as I've grown up.
I understand. And hopefully the Colts can come up with a pretty good potion to get things together against the Browns.
It's certainly an experiment right now, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Now, I want to talk to you about another local media guy here, and then I'll talk a little bit about the Browns. But Phil Wilson, he's been on this show a few times. Good guy. I like him a lot. And the thing is, he stirred the proverbial national soup bowl. And you travel with the team. You spend a lot of time with the Colts. Do you think Bill Polian is a coward when it comes to the local media?
I think Bill often prefers to be in the national spotlight if he's going to deal with the media. I feel that Bill could care less for the most part about the local media and what we have to say, and doesn't give us much credence in terms of our knowledge of the game. And so I would say that for the most part, he would consider us unimportant to what he's doing. I will say that for the most part, whenever I have approached Bill, he's always willing to give me an interview. I think he's a great interview to talk to because he's passionate about anything that he says. He's also very defensive about anything that he feels has been said against his team, or against his policy, or against his way of building the team. And I like that in a person who will speak their mind in a passionate way. So I enjoy interviewing Bill. But I will say that I often have felt over the years that he has deferred to the national media in either breaking stories or giving them the first word and those sorts of things.
Well, one thing for sure is the Indianapolis Colts have the national spotlight, And they're going to against Cleveland Browns, which is also winless. So somebody's going to come away with a win, and we'll let you go here because I know we got Tim Newton from the Purdue play-by-play guy coming up at 8:30 to talk about the Purdue Boilermakers. But what I wanted to know from you is, what does Indianapolis Colts have to do to beat Cleveland? And then I know right after this, Josh has got a question for you too. So go ahead, Rich.
Well, I would say the first thing that comes to mind to me is they've got to play more solid defense. And what I mean by that is they've got to be more principled at the line of scrimmage. They've got to handle their assignments at the line of scrimmage. Houston was getting way too much of a push, and they've got to tackle. Those are the first two things that come to mind. And I think it's too obvious for me to say take care of the football. I mean, if the Colts don't fumble on their first – well, sorry, if they don't fumble on those first few possessions, I think they could have been a much different game. I still think the Texans were going to win that game. I would have picked the Texans to win that game with Peyton Manning at quarterback, but it would have been a much different game, and it wouldn't be the embarrassment that has everybody scratching their heads in Indianapolis wondering just how bad this game is going to be. So if they could do those three things, I think they'll beat Cleveland. I just think coming home off the embarrassment of last week and wanting to show everyone that, hey, we're okay, we're going to be all right, I think they win this game Sunday.
Josh?
Well, I had a quick question about the Browns and also a local question for you, Rich. What do you think Colt McCoy is going to develop into as an NFL quarterback? And also, are you going to be out in any high schools tomorrow night?
Well, on Friday, let me answer the second question first. On Friday nights, my assignment has been over the past couple of seasons now. I am the producer of Operation Football, which is the name of our high school football programming on Fridays. And so I am in charge of putting the whole show together, start to finish, writing the stories, what games we're going to cover, collecting all the scores, putting the framework of the show together. So I unfortunately don't get out of the building. My job is to make Dave Calabro look good. So we collaborate on Friday nights, and he fronts the work that we do together. But my job is behind the scenes on Friday nights. So we'll be out at about 10 to 11 games on Friday night, but I'll be manning the fort, as they say. As far as Colt McCoy goes, I just haven't seen enough of Colt yet to know and to say, from my own opinion, with any kind of confidence, whether he has the potential to be a good NFL quarterback or not. I just wouldn't want to answer that question yet. I don't think I have an informed opinion enough about it to say.
Isn't it an irony that his name is Colt?
There you go.
Well, we've been talking to Rich Nye from WTHR Sports. Rich, you're always welcome here at any time. And we also, on Friday nights, we have our own Balanced Pep Rally where we just break down the local high school sports here in Indianapolis. So you're welcome to jump on board on that anytime that you want. We got to jump to a break, guys. And when we get back, we've got Tim Newton, play-by-play announcer for Purdue University, breaking down the Purdue Southwestern, Southeast Missouri State game. Rich, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
Thank you, buddy. We'll be right back on Blog Talk Radio.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. All right, welcome back. This is the Balanced Gridiron. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Josh, what a great conversation that was with Rich Nye, really breaking down and giving us the real scoop from the locker room out there with the Indianapolis Colts.
It absolutely was. And just an update here from Conseco Fieldhouse. Indiana Fever have a big lead over the New York Liberty, 30-18.
All right, there you have it. Again, and Josh, we want to make sure that we let everybody know that tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, is our Balanced Pep Rally. And what are some of the teams that we're covering tomorrow night on the Balanced Pep Rally?
Well, I'm actually going to be at Lucas Oil Stadium tomorrow, where there's a few games. Speedway's playing, Chicard's in action, Ritter's in action. The game to be at tomorrow night, number 5, Class 5A, number 3, Brownsburg. 4-0 at Avon, 3-1. The visiting team in that series has won 12 out of the last 13 games. Can you answer how that worked out for me, Tom?
Well, it's very interesting to find out, and I'm we'll make sure that we break that down and dissect that. We're waiting to connect right now with Tim Newton, play-by-play announcer for Purdue University. Josh, real quickly before we get him on the line here, what are some of the things that Purdue has to do to do on Saturday to win this game?
They have to get off to a better start. As you remember, when they were there a couple weeks ago for the Purdue Middle Tennessee State game, they were down at halftime. They turned the ball over a little bit in the first half. Caleb Turbush looked a little shaky in the first half. He played a lot better the last three halves. Purdue should have won that game last week. Their defense slowed them down. If they're going to make a bowl game, they have got to have Saturday's game. But I think the key for Purdue is El Presidente Tom Marquis is going to be at the game. They want to know when you're at the game, Tom.
Who wants to know when I'm at the game?
I said Purdue's want to know when you're at the game, so maybe you're their lucky token.
Yeah, except my last name's not Marquis. We'll go with Marquis. So we'll go with that, huh?
We'll go with that one.
All right, Josh, we're still trying to connect with Tim Newton, play-by-play announcer for Purdue University. You know, we were talking a little bit earlier to Gary Snyder about the Notre Dame situation. Is anything going to – what do you think is going to happen here? What are the keys for Notre Dame this weekend?
They got to get off to a good start. They got to hang on to the football. I have to agree with Gary Snyder. If Notre Dame could hang on to the football, they're 2-0 and being talked about as a national title contender. And not to sell Notre Dame short, but while we have a minute, Tom, the game to watch Saturday is number 1, Oklahoma, led by quarterback Landry Jones, coming into Tallahassee, Florida, to take on number 5, Florida State, led by quarterback E.J. Manuel. Somebody's national title hopes are going to die on Saturday.
No, and you're probably right about that. Josh, I know a lot of times we get caught up in the local media and the local sports here in Indianapolis, but one thing that you pointed out today is we are national. We cover coast to coast, and we want to hear about you guys, and you can certainly leave us your comments at www.thebalanceonline.com, or you can find us on Twitter, just T-Balance as well. Now, Josh, I know you're not going to be around for the Fantasy Football Huddle, but why we stand by and wait to connect with Tim Newton of Purdue University play-by-play, what are some of the key strategies, start-em, set-ems for Fantasy Football?
Start Drew Brees, start Tom Brady, start Cam Newton. I'm still trying to work out a trade to acquire Cam Newton. So far, no luck. Start Matt Schaub. He got me a lot of fantasy points last Sunday. Is that the expense of the Indianapolis Colts? And, Tom, If you have Michael Vick this week, start him.
Well, I don't have Michael Vick on my team, period, at all. But I tell you one person that I was moderately impressed with, and that was Ryan Fitzpatrick with the Buffalo Bills. I did have him, but I set him on the bench. I played Josh Freeman instead, and I know that he ended up with an injury as well. So, Josh, how does your team look?
I'm happiest where my team is at the moment, but I do have kind of a jokingly question for you, Tom. Did you start Josh Freeman just out of respect to $2 bill, Josh?
No, I only got him and Ryan Fitzpatrick, but out of respect to $2 bill, Josh. That's what I did.
It should be a great Sunday for fantasy football. Hopefully, the Indianapolis Colts come up with a win on Sundays. We desperately need one. Tom, I don't know if you'd agree with me. If we lose to a team like the Browns, we might go from talking about 7-9 to 2-14.
And I think you might be right about it. I think we've connected now with Tim. Tim, are you with us?
I am.
All right. So glad that you could join us there. And we're talking with Tim Newton, play-by-play announcer for Purdue University. Tim, it is an honor to have you on our show here on the Balanced Gridiron. We are coast-to-coast, and we're so glad that you could join us. And I know I'll be down there Saturday for the game, and you're joining me. With me also is my co-host and partner in crime, Mr. $2 Bill Josh, who's down at Conseco Fieldhouse covering the Indiana Fever in the playoffs for a change. And as we were just talking with Rich Nye from WTHR Sports, could be the last of the Mohicans for basketball out there at Conseco for a while. Now, I know you're a football guy, and we want to jump right into it, but before we get to Purdue, want to ask your thoughts about the Indianapolis Colts and what with the glim outlook for them this year. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that for a lot of years, number 18 has masked a lot of deficiencies on that football team. And I think those deficiencies are coming out into the open now that he's not there. And certainly that's not a knock necessarily against Kerry Collins or Curtis Painter or whoever else they put in there. But, they've put so many eggs in that basket for so many years, and Peyton Manning has shown that he's a spectacular player year after year. Very hard to fill those shoes. And I think that they've got some defensive problems, but I think in the past they could outscore some people. I don't think that'll happen this year. So I think it's going to be a long, long season for the blue and white.
Well, speaking of long seasons, and real quickly, before we get to Purdue, because it's going to be a long season for them, I've got a feeling, but Curtis Painter, obviously you're familiar with him and his work. Are you disappointed to see how things have not developed for him with the Indianapolis Colts?
I guess a little bit, but I think that, I think a lot of people here were surprised that he hung around after this training camp. You thought that when they signed Collins, you knew that they would make a move with one of the other quarterbacks, whether it was the Orlovsky guy from Connecticut or Curtis. It would be nice to see Curtis get the chance with the first team offense in games that meant something. I think people are basing what Curtis Painter has done based on what he did at the end of one season when they basically were trying to rest everybody. And also in preseason when we know that the Colts don't play any of their regulars or many of the regulars in preseason. Having said that, when he has had the opportunities, he hasn't played particularly well. So, the NFL is the right now league. And so if you're not producing right at that moment, it's very hard to get a second opportunity.
We're talking to Tim Newton, play-by-play announcer for Purdue University. Tim, I want to dive right into it. Purdue has struggled. They've had some quarterback changes. I kind of like Tara Bush. I had an opportunity to talk with him a couple weeks ago right after the Middle Tennessee State game. He seems to have stepped up and have some confidence. What are some of the keys to keep Purdue from being in these last-minute situations that they found themselves in 2 weeks in a row?
Well, I think probably the biggest disappointment in the first 2 weeks has been on the defensive side. I think especially when Rob Henry went down with the injury, people assumed that there would be a little bit of a rough sledding early on with the offense. You've got a guy in Caleb Turbush that really hadn't played a meaningful football game since 2008. So it's understandable that the offense has been up and down, but this is a defense that really returned everybody in the defensive secondary, returned all of its linebackers, and so far in the first two games, they haven't been able to defend very well against the pass. So as they get into the meat of the schedule and start playing the Notre Dames with Michael Floyd and some of the other Big Ten schools, they're really going to have to shore up that defensive secondary, or it could be a very long season.
Josh, I know you're down at Conseco. You can't see my cues, so go ahead.
All right, well, a couple of things. I'm actually not that disappointed with the Purdue Boilermakers. They're about what I figured they would be. Now, I don't want to hear any Purdue fans all of a sudden jump on the Lux Fire Danny Hope bandwagon. I live in Indianapolis, so I don't really know if there is one in West Lafayette yet. Turbush is a great quarterback. I think Purdue's biggest problem, like you said, has been on the defensive side of the ball. And don't get me wrong, Ralph Bolden's a great running back, but he's the second best running back on that team, and I believe that was proven without a shadow of a doubt last week.
Well, he's, you know, Ralph Bolden's a pretty good running back. Akeem Shavers is a pretty good running back. And really, this is a luxury that Purdue hasn't had in a long time, where they've had two guys that they could give the ball to that both have big play capabilities. So I don't think running the football, you know, if you look at Danny Hope and in the 3 years he's been here, that Purdue's been able to run the football. What's different now is that they don't have that throw-it-around attack that they had in previous years with Joe Tiller. They haven't had that consistent stuff at quarterback and haven't been able to pitch and catch it very well. But I like Ralph Bolden. I like Akeem Shavers. And, you know, they've got some other guys. They've got a freshman that probably won't play this year named Akeem Hunt, who I think is going to be an awfully good one too.
Now, one question for you is, do you think that Coach Hopewell's confidence in Turbush is more or less than what it was at the beginning of the season? Because obviously he wasn't his first choice, and I'm curious as to why we still see another quarterback warming up on the sidelines there.
Well, I don't think there's any confidence issue. I think if anything, Danny is probably more confident than when the season started in Caleb. You know, it was interesting when the season started, they had planned to play both Rob Henry and Robert Marv. And it was probably going to be a situation where Henry took 70% of the snaps and maybe Marv 30%. And you would have, when Marv was on the field, you could line Henry up as in the Wildcat. You could line him up as a receiver, and he could still stay on the field. So when Danny had talked at the beginning of the season about playing two quarterbacks, in many cases it was playing two quarterbacks at the same time. He is a believer that you've always got to have a backup quarterback ready to play, and I guess all you have to do now is look at the team we talked about earlier, the Indianapolis Colts, and obviously they really don't have, at this point, a second quarterback ready to go. But I do think that we'll probably see Robert Marv this week. We saw a lot of people warming up the Middle Tennessee game because nobody was moving the football, and thankfully they got that going late. But I don't think there's a confidence issue. And as I said, I think Danny Hope feels as good right now about Caleb Turbush as he did about Joey Elliott a couple of years ago. He thinks that Caleb is actually further along than Joey was that season back in 2009.
Josh, do you have anything? Josh?
Yes, actually. I have a quick question, and then I'm going to have to jump off here, unfortunately, and join you guys tomorrow night on the Friday night pep rally. If we could step away from the Purdue Boilermakers for a minute, Ken, what do you think about all this expansion talk as it relates to the Big 12 and the Big 10 and the SEC? And do you ever think we could see a scenario where a school like Purdue or IU gets spread up and decides that they'd rather be in a different conference?
Oh, I don't think so. I think that both of those schools are very solidly in the Big Ten. I do think, though, and I don't know if it'll be in 5 years or 10 years, but I think you will see these mega conferences that people have talked about, where you'll have four or five conferences that have maybe 14 or 16 teams. And I think if that happens, there may be a situation where maybe they would break away from the NCAA, because if they're ruling the roost in football and they have all the power schools in football, it's kind of like the old days on the playground. If you brought the football to the game, you made the rules. Well, those schools are the power schools, and they're going to make the rules in terms of what's going to happen in college football. So I think Purdue and Indiana are both Big Ten schools to stay, but certainly what we know of the college landscape right now is going to change a lot, and it could start changing next week, starting with Oklahoma.
Now, we're talking to Tim Newton, play-by-play announcer for Purdue University. And, Tim, question for you about the blocked field goal attempt. Obviously, 2 weeks in a row, they've been in a situation to where a field goal decided the game. What is causing that? What do you think is creating that issue?
Well, if you're talking about the actual blocked field goal, the field goal itself was blocked because basically they had two guys run through one gap and Purdue only blocked one of the two. But in terms of why both games have come down to the last second, I think it's a matter of Purdue in the first game certainly not executing very well offensively. And I thought last week against Rice it was a case, especially in the middle of the second quarter on to the middle of the third quarter, where they didn't execute very well defensively. And they had some opportunities to put the game away early. They basically should have had a 60-yard touchdown pass on the first play of the game. And then they had a chance when they were up 17-10 to go down and take a two-score lead and didn't. And Rice came down and scored on the last play of the half. But, you know, I don't think we expected to go down to the last second on either game. But hopefully that won't be the case again this week. But I think this team is closer now than it was 2 weeks ago. And they need a good performance Saturday, go into their bye week with a little bit of momentum and get ready to play an Irish team that could be reeling by the time they come to Ross-Ade.
And that brings me to my next question. I mean, we were just talking with Gary Snyder from the Gary Snyder Show about some Notre Dame football. And the thing is, I don't see them beating Michigan State. And obviously, you know, Purdue plays Michigan State. You know what a challenge Michigan State can be. So theoretically, Notre Dame could come into Purdue still, you know, 0-3. Does that give Purdue any confidence at all, especially if they pull off a win this weekend?
Well, I think right now that Purdue's probably more concerned with what Purdue is doing because they don't have any control over what Notre Dame does, but you have to wonder about their confidence level. And as you mentioned, if they lose at home this week against a very talented Michigan State team, that would be three losses. Then they have to go to Pittsburgh the week before they come to West Lafayette. So the Irish have some tough sledding ahead, but I think right now Purdue's focus is on Purdue. That's still a very talented Notre Dame team. I don't care if they come in here 2-2, 1-3 or 0-4. It's still a very good team, and it's a team that Purdue would have to play very well to beat.
Now, Tim, Purdue has never played Southeast Missouri. I apologize, my notes. I hate laptops. Sometimes they work, and sometimes they don't. But Purdue has never played Southeastern Missouri before. So what are they doing to prepare for this game, and what are some of the key things that Purdue has to do to come away with a win?
Well, I think one of the advantages here is that Danny Hope coached at Eastern Kentucky prior to coming to Purdue, and Eastern Kentucky is an Ohio Valley Conference school, and so is Southeast Missouri. So Danny has actually coached not only against this team, but against this coaching staff before. They feature a very good quarterback, a fellow named Matt Scheibel, who was a first-team all-conference selection a year ago. And when it's all said and done, he'll be throwing for over 4,000 yards and running for more than 2,000 yards in his career. They won the Ohio Valley Conference last year with a 9-3 record, but they graduated 17 of 22 starters. So it's a very young team that'll come to West Lafayette. They were beaten pretty handily the first time out by Southern Illinois, and I think it'll be interesting to see how they rebound after having a bye week. But really, Purdue certainly is thinking about Southeast Missouri, but again, they're thinking more about getting better this week, and they feel like if they get better and play to their capabilities, then the result will take care of itself on Saturday.
Well, we're talking to Tim Newton, play-by-play announcer for Purdue University. One more quick, a couple more quick questions for you. Obviously, the big highlight game of the year is IU-Purdue. The bucket game is a tradition, and it's a great game to watch at the end of the season. Do you think that this will mark the end of both IU and Purdue season? And what do you think about Indiana University this year? They're struggling in their own right.
Well, in terms of whether it's going to mark the end of the season, I think Purdue's margin for error was pretty slim coming into the season just because of the way the schedule was set up. And certainly the loss to Rice last week hurts in terms of postseason opportunities. Now they have to go and probably win a game or two on the road that people don't expect them to win. But I really believe this will be a football team that will get better as the season goes along. And who's to say that they can't get an Iowa or somebody like that late in the season at Ross-Ade? In terms of Indiana, I watched. I was able to see the game they played against Ball State. I watched it on my laptop, and it was amazing. If you didn't know which the Big Ten school was and which one the MAC school was, you would have been confused, because I thought Indiana just was physically dominated by Ball State. I'm sure that Kevin Wilson, he's got some great recruits lined up, but he's probably looking around right now and realizing he's not in Norman, Oklahoma anymore. They've got a long way to go down in Bloomington.
They absolutely do. And we appreciate you joining us, Tim. You're welcome any time here at The Balance. And I'll be up there for Saturday's game. And if I run into you, I'll make sure that I take a second to introduce myself. And they've got a great spread up there, so I've got to get up there in time to eat.
always. And sometimes you can get through line twice before kickoff if you hurry.
That's right. Tim, thanks a lot. You have yourself a good evening.
Thank you. You too.
Tim Newton, play-by-play announcer for Purdue. We'll be right back. And when we get back, we're going to dive right into the fantasy football huddle. It's going to take us out of the show. And we've got some fantasy football fans standing by, ready to talk to us. And we're going to, if you guys want to talk fantasy football with us, give us a call, 917-889-8516. This is The Balanced Gridiron on Blog Talk Radio. Coast to coast.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
When you poop in your dreams, you poop for real.
All right, boys and girls, you know what that means. That means it's time to talk fantasy football. It's the Fantasy Football Huddle. Give us a call, 917-889-8516. We're going to talk your fantasy football team, who to set, who to drop, your studs, you know, and so forth. On the line with me, and by the way, I do want to point one thing out. We have a new sponsor here on The Balance, and we are so glad to have them along with us as well, Dominion Home Builders. And I lost my little cue sheet for them, but I know I will get to it right here in just a second, because that's the beauty of live radio. When laptops go crazy, like I was just talking to Tim Mouton about, sometimes they just go crazy. Well, anyway, winter is rapidly approaching, and time is running out to get that much-needed work done on your home. You got a leaky roof or some storm damage? Call Dominion Home Builders now at 317-523-8414. DHB is an honest, top-notch general contractor serving Central Indiana. Call them today, 317-523-8414. That's 317-523-8414, or catch them online, www.dhbindiana.com. Mike Daly, you're on the line. Fantasy football, what's it look like for you this year, buddy?
Hey, Tom, how are you doing?
I am fantastic. How are you doing, sir?
Doing real good. Hey, I got a real steal this year. Somehow, Tom Brady dropped down to around 24th, 25th on the preseason rankings, and I was just able to steal him. And I think the first week out here, he proved everybody wrong. You know, the big hype was Michael Vick and people like, and Vick's probably going to have a great year. Hopefully he does well there because I've got him in another league too. But yeah, I picked up Brady I was way behind on Sunday, really about ready to chalk it up for a loss. And then a couple of my guys started picking it up. And then, Tom Brady and Deion Branch came through on Monday night and chalked up a good victory for me.
And I tell you what, though, it was fun to watch Tom Brady chuck a 98-yard touchdown pass. Obviously, the wide receiver did 99. That's right.
Yeah.
So you fantasy owners that have Tom Brady, I'm sure are gloat in the moment. But I'm going to tell you, that is not – those type of – as Chad Ocho Cico would say, the video game numbers is not the reality in every situation. But actually, Tom Brady is a great fantasy quarterback. And we're going to take your calls, 917-889-8516. Now, I was just telling our co-host, $2 Bill Josh, about playing Josh Freeman instead of Fitzpatrick with the Buffalo Bills. I know we got Chad on the line with us. Chad, are you with us, my man?
Yes, I'm here. So what
are
you guys talking about?
Well, we are talking right now about Tom Brady's unbelievable performance the other night. And if you own him and you didn't start him, what a moron you were. So, obviously Mike Daly started him. Now, tell us, Chad, I know that you are the fantasy football guru, the one that knows all about fantasy football. Chad, what's going on? First of all, what's going on with the Colts? Do you see a outlook that's anything but positive, negative, I mean?
Well, I mean, I think with more reps, they should get it a little more straightened out, especially the offensive line. If they can give Kerry Collins some time, I think, if you looked at the two plays where Dallas Clark was blocking Mario Williams, if it was Peyton Manning, he would just audible out of that play. So Kerry Collins is so new to this audibling out of this offense, he's more concerned about getting everybody on the same page. It was the worst start you could expect for him on the road where he's kind of spelling out the entire full play instead of the abbreviated versions. So basically he can audible fast enough, and Dallas Clark is left to block Mario Williams.
That's a long way.
So
now,
I think those things will get straightened out at home. So.
Now, Chad, what do you think about your fantasy team this year? Real quickly, you guys both got about a minute to tell me what you think about your fantasy team this year. And next week, we'll try to get you guys on a little bit longer. We just had a full house tonight, and unfortunately, we have to kind of go with their schedules when we're dealing with other people of the media. But so real quickly, Chad and Mike, tell us about what you think about your fantasy football team this year, Chad.
Hey, I think the offense is ahead of the defense. Normally, the defense starts out faster than the offense in most regular seasons where you have full off-season OTAs, and the lockout has allowed the offense to start ahead of the defense. And the defense, as it showed in the Dolphins game, they were just huffing and panting when the no huddle happened, and the offense has been putting up prolific numbers across the league. So that's a good thing for a lot of fantasy teams. And I always look at it like, okay, whichever teams match up with the AFC West and the NFC West, there are always points to be scored in any division that has players in any position that plays the AFC West and NFC West. So,
okay, Mike Daly, you're up.
Yeah, I think I had a good couple teams. This is actually only my second year doing this. I started out terrible last year, came on really strong in the end, and did a little bit of homework this time. Actually knew what I was doing when I got into it. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy with mine. Like I said, I got Brady. He's done real good so far. Got Peyton Hillis in both leagues. I'm hoping he can duplicate what he did last year, only maybe finish a little stronger. Got Arian Foster. Hopefully we'll get to see him the first time this weekend.
Absolutely. So, well, guys, you know, go ahead. Did you have something else to say there?
That was about it.
That was about it. Well, guys, this has been the balance.
Except the Eagles defense. Took a little bit of a chance on them, and that was a great pickup, it looks like.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to have to really break this conversation down next week, and we'll have you guys back on the Fantasy Football Huddle. We'll give you a little bit more time. We just kind of ran out of scheduling time this week. But I promise you, every week, guys, you know we do this thing called the Balanced Gridiron, and we do it coast to coast. So if you guys have fantasy questions, just post them on our website, www.thebalanceonline.com. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. We'll see you next week on the Balanced Gridiron.